So there's a, I'm going to start with this proverb in chapter 17. I think it's familiar to most of us. And this is what I was thinking about today before we continue in the Word. In Proverbs 17, verse 3, it says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." So we know that Peter uses this example when he talks about how our faith is going to be tested. And he says that it's going to be like gold in the fire. And that's how God's going to refine us and purify us to see what kind of faith we have, to see if we really trust in Him, if we believe in Jesus. And so we're not supposed to consider it a strange thing when we go through many of these difficult tests and trials. Because it says if it's necessary, God will do it, bring about such circumstances. And sometimes He has to bring more than what we'd like. But He knows the very thing that would cause those things, the dross and the alloys, to come to the surface. And so there's only one way to purify, and that's to bring the test. Because, we can't see. The more I realize, the more I can't see the wickedness of my heart and the deceitfulness of my heart. Because if I put my trust in myself, then I become deceived. And so the Lord can see those areas where we don't trust Him completely. And we use our own wisdom, or we walk in fear and anxiety. That's a manifestation immediately. We're not trusting in Him. And when He brings these circumstances, it's a fire. And He allows it to come to show us where we, if we're standing on the solid ground, like the song we sang. If we're on sandy foundations and we get shaken so easily, we crash. But if we're on a solid foundation and we trust in Jesus, it doesn't matter what comes, we can have perfect peace. So the Lord is interested in testing our heart to show us these things when anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things come. And I think for many of us, we've had different tests that can show these things in our heart. More than ever, I can see my heart. Lord, why? And He's bringing us into this furnace and crucible, because He wants to sanctify and purify us, to give us the nature of Jesus, so we can walk in love in every circumstance and not fall short. And I remember years ago, it was only months after I was born again, when I was praying in my room, because I was going through a huge trial in my life. And it was the area of it was an area of unforgiveness and maybe bitterness, I would say. And it was one of my best friends that I felt that he had, really hurt me. Almost felt like he stabbed me in the back, because we had this talk, and I think a lot of you know the story. But I didn't recognize, the reason I'm sharing this is because I didn't recognize the test when it came. I didn't understand why it was all happening. I was praying hard about it. But it took a lot of time before I actually could realize what the Lord was showing me in my heart. And this is what I was thinking about today, because as I was thinking, Lord, you allow all these things to happen, but why do you allow these difficult things? He's more interested in not so much solving the problem. We want the problem solved. We just want the problem dealt with. And think about some of these big trials that we've been through over the last number of months. How quickly we want to solve the problem. It's our nature. And but I remember when this happened, and my best friend, he decided that he was going to date my sister, and she was quite young, and he was a lot older, and there was a lot of things there that I felt like he was rejecting me, and just that he really didn't value, our friendship, that he would do this thing. And so I talked to him about it, and he agreed that he would let it go. And I was thankful, because I was really upset about it. I didn't know why I was so upset that I could not move forward spiritually in my walk with the Lord. And so then a week later, it happened that they began to continue in this relationship. And I was so angry that I couldn't even see his face. I wouldn't show myself to him. I would leave the house, or I would go in another room. And it was so difficult for me that I was praying against it. I was asking the Lord just to shut this thing down. And I believed He could do great things, because I'd seen Him answer prayer. So it was going on, and it was as though my prayers weren't being answered. And silence. I remember being in my room and praying about this and just thinking about this. And this is when the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm testing your heart. What is inside of your heart right now? I knew immediately, what is in your heart? Because when I was praying, you know, there's a verse here that comes to mind in it's in Mark chapter 11. And it ties right into what I'd like to share today. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted to him. And I believe that. So I was taking these things to prayer, because I'd seen him move other mountains in my life. But the problem was the next few verses. And it says here, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Well, I had seemed to have faith to believe that God could do this, but then as I was continuing to pray and I wasn't seeing things happen, my faith was dwindling. I found it was a struggle to believe. And then the more that I would pray, the more I would see more my heart was, that would even rob me of my faith. Because what was in my heart was that I was upset, I was bitter, I was angry. And this is why we have the next verse. And it says, and if whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. That is exactly what was going on in my heart. I was at a place where the Lord was bringing the circumstance to show me that I could have unforgiveness and no mercy in my heart. And it was like the Lord said to me, you know, after all these things you've done, I've forgiven you. But he said, you won't forgive the one who's sinned against you. You won't have mercy because you don't see how great a sin I've really forgiven. Because if you would see it, then this sin in comparison would be small. But to me, it was great. It was greater than all my sins. In my mind, I couldn't believe it. It seemed such a great sin in my mind. And so I justified myself to be upset and to be angry and to be unforgiving. And so when I would pray, I would have this in my heart, and my prayers were not being answered. As it says here, whenever you stand praying, it says you must forgive. Because if that is in our hearts, God, he cannot hear our prayers. Because he's saying, look, I have forgiven you, but you won't show mercy. How can I answer your prayer when you don't truly value my mercy? And I remember when I had that in my heart, that I immediately went to Matthew chapter 18. Because I knew the Lord was showing me this unforgiveness in my heart. He was testing me and shaking me and showing me that something deep in there. Because I was asking questions. I was like, why, God? You know, this is what we do. Why do you allow us to go through such difficult things? And why does it have to take so long? You know, it's really God depending. He's looking to us, and it depends upon us. He's waiting for us to yield our hearts to him. That's what he's waiting for. I'm convinced that God could change every circumstance, just like when Jesus was in the boat and the storms were coming and he just said, be still. I'm convinced that he can do that easily, but he wants to get into our heart to show us what's in there before he can do that. So we can be striving and fighting and rowing against all these winds and waves that are coming against us, but God is interested in showing me what's in my heart, first and foremost, to deal with that. And this is what was happening with the disciples when they were questioning Jesus about how often they should forgive someone. It seems as though someone continues to sin and continues to sin against me. Should I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's how much mercy he expects from us. Because that's how much mercy he gives to us when we confess our sins. And he told the story of this certain king, which wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. He began to settle them. It says, when he began to settle these accounts, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. And we know that was a massive amount of money that no one could ever repay. Since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. You see that? When we hold something, when we hold unforgiveness in our heart, we become a slave. Right there. Instantly, when we hold, harbor a grudge towards somebody, anything like that, we become a debt, indebted. And the enemy takes control. And this is what happened to this certain slave. He became a slave. He not only him, but his wife, his children, all that he had. And he had to pay it all back because now he was wanting to be justified. You know, that's what happens. And we don't recognize his mercy. We want to say, well, this is what I've done, but this is what you've done. God says, okay, if you want to settle accounts, then I'm going to hold you to every sin and we can't pay it back. Now, when he experienced the yoke of his slavery, and he felt it, and it weighs on our hearts, it says that that slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. He had a revelation that he was in big trouble. He had sinned, and he asked for patience and mercy that he was willing to pay back. He was willing to have his debt covered. He didn't know how. I don't know how he would do that. It says in my margin here that it was over $10 million in silver. I know some say different, but I don't know how you could ever imagine. But this is really faith that, you know, whatever it takes, you're willing, Lord, to deal. Lord, there's something in my heart. Whenever it takes, I'd rather deal with that than be under this heaviness and torment and yoke that I'm feeling. And it says that when this master saw that, it was a change of heart that it says, the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. I think it's that way in any circumstance when there is a desire to be reconciled in a humble heart. That any brother, any, you know, like the prodigal son and the father, that immediately compassion fills our hearts when we see there is a desire to humble ourselves, to repent. Our Heavenly Father, in the same way, has forgiven our sins. But it says, that slave went out. Now, after having all this mercy shown to him, he went out and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Nothing in comparison. It was about a denarii was about a day's wages. He owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him and saying, pay back what you owe. You have sinned against me. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay. Same words. Desiring to be reconciled. Same words. But it says he was unwilling. However, he went and he threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So his fellow slaves saw what had happened. They were deeply grieved and they came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. They told everything what this man did. And then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave. You see what God reveals in the heart? what wickedness? It says the heart of man is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked, our hearts. Having a grudge, unforgiveness, bitterness makes our hearts wicked, evil. That's how God sees it. And we want to come before him and ask him to answer our prayers or to forgive our sins. And we have something like this in our heart. God says, you wicked person. Wickedness, that's what he sees. He said, I forgave you. I showed you the mercy. All that debt that you had, because you came to me and pleaded for forgiveness. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? He desires that same heart of mercy. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And that is a place, a terrible place to be. When you become so under the yoke of your sin that Satan can torment you day and night. With thoughts in the mind, that's where it begins. The torturers come straight to the mind and they begin to work and buffet you day and night, and until there's no rest and there's no peace. And that happens now, and that's what hell is. Hell is the absence of the peace of God and the mercy of God. This is a place of torment where God allows us to come to a place where we become given over almost to our sin and anger. That God could show us the sin in our heart when we reject his mercy. and we don't choose to have mercy on others, and God restrains his mercy from us. And that debt was reinstated back upon that man. And this is what he said, "So shall my heavenly Father do to you." He said this to his disciples. He said soberly, "My Father will do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." It has to be forgiveness from the heart. And I remember reading this, and a fear of God came on me then. And instantly my problem was changed from looking at the person who sinned against me or offended me and I was hostile to, was now my, I could see my sin towards God. It was instantly changed. So now I could see that my wrestle was not against flesh and blood, but it was God allowing all these circumstances. Why would God allow this thing to happen to me? I just thought, why? You know? But God had to show me how much he had done for me and was asking me now, are you willing to forgive? And when I could see that, my wickedness of my heart and how I was sinning against God, it changed everything. It helped me. But this is why the Word of God, it can help us to see, to shine light in those areas of our heart where we can have a grievance or we can have division and a wall come, and God can show us that's not the problem. The problem is in your heart here. It's not about that person and such a person. And when I heard, when I had this revelation, I began to pray, Lord, help me to forgive. And my prayers instantly changed. And it didn't take, it didn't happen immediately, but it took some time. And I began to ask him every day, Lord, help me to forgive. I can't do it in myself. I knew it was impossible. I was so upset. I could not do it. I knew I had to ask him. I said, Lord, the same way you delivered me from other sins, I need your help. Because I don't want to carry this with me. We can carry these things and become, you know, a bondage there. And I began to ask him, and he helped me to come to a place where I could go to my, you know, enemy, so to speak. And I could ask him, can you forgive me? Because that's all he asks. He just asks us to forgive from our heart. We do, we have to obey the word. We say, Lord, I don't have the power, but I can go and I can obey your word. I can forgive. I can choose to forgive. If it's in your heart, you can go. Lord, help me. I don't want to be angry towards my boss. I don't want to be angry towards my brother. I don't want to be angry, you know, such and such person. And if we do that in obedience, God can take away that huge mountain that's before us, that's hindering our prayers. But you know, you have to win a battle before you get to that place. And Psalm chapter 4. Psalm of David, a time of distress. We know David was a great example of these things, how many opportunities he had to be justly angry, you know, against those who would persecute him, especially Saul. I was thinking about that this last week, how he could be so concerned about how his heart was feeling him, how his heart was condemning him when he would cut the edge of his robe like that, and how he would, you know, when he was truly being unjustly persecuted by Saul, that he could be so concerned against his sin towards God by saying something or doing something. Lord, we need to have that, you know, consciousness where we don't see, you know, this is not right. This is not right. And we can look all around us. But David was like, Lord, help me. Yes, my enemies are against me, but Lord, I don't want to sin. That's a heart, that's a man after God's heart. That's a heart when you can see, Lord, you don't want to sin against God in this. When it's not your, it's someone else sinning against you, but you don't want to sin in it. You don't want to hold something against that person. You don't want to see evil. You know, when we desire evil on someone, that can happen very easily. When evil thoughts come, you wish someone would have to go through this, or you wish someone, that's Antichrist spirit. It's like the same as calling down fire on those Samaritans that didn't accept Jesus. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. I didn't come to destroy, but to save. We should never wish evil. Love does not desire evil or provoke or do anything like that. Its desire is to keep no record of wrongs. And then David was crying out to God, and he said, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become my reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? This is what was happening all around them. Those who aimed at worthlessness and deception, and David was crying out. But know that the Lord has set apart a godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. He said, tremble. Some say, be angry. The New Testament says, be angry or tremble. Sometimes we tremble. We're so angry, we're frustrated. It says, and do not sin. Right? Some things make us angry, and we can be angry about things. There's things that they should make us angry. You know, that's something we've learned. When someone does something that's not right, hurts another person, it should make us angry. If it doesn't, we don't have the nature of Jesus, because Jesus dealt with sin. And there's times when he was very angry because he knew it robbed the glory of his Father, dishonored the name of Jesus. When someone blasphemes the name of Jesus or says something, we should be angry. But it's when we're angry that we don't want to sin. We don't want to speak evil. We don't want to, you know, gossip or backbite or take matters in our hands. That's when we sin. And that is the biggest battle, I find, is sometimes we can see the problem, but then to see it and say, Lord, I don't want to sin in this. That takes much grace. And this is the secret. This is what the Word of God says. It says when we get that anger, we can go into our quiet place and pray, and we can meditate in our heart upon our beds, and we can be still. That's the time we don't want to react or get in a conversation or speak. Sometimes it's best to be silent and close our mouths, especially when we're in a situation like that. Because I've seen, even this last week, how I want to speak. When I feel that someone has hurt me or said something to me, I want to defend myself. And this is something that I want to learn. This is something that the Lord was showing me years ago when I was in that place when I wanted to solve the problem on my own strength. But I only got the revelation when I went into my room and I was still before I began to pray and I was searching my heart and saying, why do I feel so... I said, Lord, I have no peace. I have lost all my joy that I had in serving you. I lost it all. And I want to get it back. And he said, what is in your heart? Why are you so angry? It's kind of like, you know, when Cain and Abel were there, and he says, why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you'll be lifted up. Right? But sin is at the door now. You have to deal with it. It was unforgiveness for me. He was jealous and enraged towards his brother, this Cain. And God is saying, be still now and listen to me, and I can give you peace. So meditate in your bed and be still. This is a secret. This is where many of us can fall short immediately because we don't come before God and take it to him. And all of a sudden he can show us, you know what? I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not fighting against, you know, my neighbor. This is the devil is my enemy. It says here instead, verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. What is that? And trust in the Lord. That's what pleases God right there. That's all what he's asking us to do in that moment when we want to react. When there's a fire, you know, you put some fire on your flesh and you see how, if you can be still, it's impossible. That's what it says in Isaiah. Who can endure the continual burnings? Who can stand in the midst of that? But the one who trusts in God, he can stand in the midst of the fire. We saw that with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He could go into that fire and with Jesus there, could be totally untouched with not the stench of smoke on him. No fragrance that comes from the rotting of the flesh or the burning of the flesh. No, nothing of the guile that comes out of the heart, but it can have total rest and peace in the heart. Can be in that place in the midst of the fire and can just say, I'm trusting in God. Lord, I don't want to fight this battle on my own. I want you to fight this for me. Many are saying, who will show us any good? You know, this is the voice of the flesh. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when the grain and the new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How do you come to a place when you're trembling on your bed, to a place where you can lie down and have peace and sleep and have gladness, knowing that the Lord is going to fight? No, he's going to deal with sin. He's going to deal with things in our heart. But we don't have to fight. We don't have to wrestle. In Psalm 46, we also know this passage. This was written by the sons of Korah. We've heard certain brothers share on some of these things here, but we know they were in the midst of a major trial when their fathers or forefathers rebelled against Moses, and they would have been destroyed with them. We wouldn't have heard of any of the sons of Korah, but they survived, and they had a testimony and a witness to this day, and they began to write this psalm here. They wrote this psalm. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Man, you need that. You need a very present help, because when you are in that place, when you could sin, make a bad decision or sin with your lips, or get angry because someone is coming against you, you need a very present help in the midst of the trouble. You know, when the trouble comes, Lord, I need a very present help. It says, therefore, we will not fear. When we are in fear, that's when we sin. Though the earth should change or shake, though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea, that is when God shakes everything that can be shaken in our life. And though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake in its swelling, at its swelling pride, what is that waters roaring and the mountains swelling and shaking? It's all the things that begin in the mind. All the shakings of in the mind, the buffeting in the mind. In all that, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. So you can have on the outside, everything is shaking. The mountains are shaking. The sea is roaring. There's a spiritual battle, a tremendous spiritual battle going on. But it says there is a river that can make us glad inside. It's in the dwelling place of the Most High. It's in the midst, in the presence of God. It says, God will help her when morning dawns. It's like the next day, right? When you will lie down on your bed and you meditate, Jesus, help me. The next morning, God can speak to you. It's happened. Maybe you've had that. You can hear God just speaking to you, washing you in the Word. The next morning, He just reminds you. Scriptures start to come. He will help you in the morning dawns. If you have grace for one night. See, the devil wants you to be tormented all night. You wake up with an anger and you'll become twice the son of hell in a sense. Maybe you've sensed that. And you go to the next day and it's even worse. You don't win the battle. It's worse the third day. But if we can have the grace and we can come to Him and say, Lord, I don't want to sin. Help me to trust in You. And the next morning it says God will help you. When the morning dawns, you can find rest. The nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice and the earth melted. The Lord is fighting against those principalities and powers that are warring with you. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth, and He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots of fire. You know how many stories in the Old Testament when they came before the Lord and there was enemies that came against them and the Lord just fought for them and destroyed their enemies. Because He's the one that makes war. He brings peace. He did it at the cross when He destroyed that hostility between even the Jew and the Gentile. And the same way when we come to God, it says here, quote this next time. Believe this verse in your heart. Lord, You make the wars to cease. I can't do it. Nothing I say is going to accomplish that. If I trust in You, You will do it. So what is our part? Verse 10, it says, cease striving. Let go. That's what it says translated. Let go and relax. Stop hanging on to and controlling it in your own strength. He wants us to die to that. Control. Why do we want to control things? It's because of fear. We're afraid and we don't trust God. Because it says here, cease striving and know that I am God. We don't really believe He's in control. Scripture that came today, I was singing. Jesus said to His disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. All authority. He told them before, as He was leaving, don't worry, He said. I have all authority now. I'm going to sit at the right hand of God. That means I have all the authority in heaven and on the earth. When Jesus was there before Pilate, why was He not afraid? Why was He not fighting before Him when He said, you would have no authority over Me except it would be given to you, My Father. My Father's given you that authority. It brought Him a perfect peace because He knew that His Father had the authority over every circumstance in His life, and God was allowing it. And Jesus knew He had to become like a lamb before the shears. He had to be silent. He had to stand there and let them crucify Him to reveal that His heart was to please God. He wouldn't fight back. He wouldn't defend himself. Same way, we can cease our strivings and believe and know that he's God. And when we do that, that is what glorifies God. It says here, I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. That's what glorifies God. That's when he does the miracles. That's when we can glorify Jesus. Because if it's a man, and a man solving the problem, then we look to man. But when it's God, we can say, we can't do it. And then we can sit here and testify those very things. How God delivered us from those huge mountains of unforgiveness and bitterness and offenses and all these things. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Stillness. This is the key, is being still before the Lord. My flesh doesn't want to be. Our flesh doesn't want to be still. But it's in those very times when we tremble that that's when we must seek stillness before him. Let's look at an example of finishing Mark 4, rather, of Jesus. So this was the story of Jesus when he calmed the storms and the evening had come. In verse 35, Mark 4, 35, he said to them, let's go to the other side. So we know that the Lord wants to take us further in our walk of faith. And he can see the things of our heart. He can see if I have partiality in my heart. He sees that. I may not see it. So what is he going to do? He's going to take me down a path to show me if I'm judging unrighteously. If I'm showing partiality, he has to show it to me. If someone tries to tell me, I won't be able to see it unless God reveals it for me. Unless I'm humble enough through the word of God, that person can show me, Lord, I need you to show me. And he told his disciples, we're going to the other side. He could see things in their hearts that he wanted to reveal. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with him, just as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. There arose, it says, a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Now that's a pretty scary situation. When you have the boat filling up with water, and you actually can sense the fear of death. This is the feeling of being overwhelmed. And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. That's a miracle. I don't understand how he could be in that place, except he had perfect peace. It says, and they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? This is what we are seeing when we go through these furnaces of fire and we still have anger in our hearts and distrust and unbelief. As we're saying, God, don't you care? And that's why we're angry. Because we think nothing's happening. That's how I felt when I was there praying that day. Someone had sinned against me. I was saying, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? I remember feeling angry. God says, what's in your heart? It's not about them. It's about you right now. This is the most important. And they said, well, don't you care if we were perishing? To say that to God, right? But this is what was in their heart. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind. Jesus went from a place of being at total rest. Like that scripture, you know, just on your, when the storms were tossing, it's a picture of Jesus when he was meditating there on his bed, so to speak, just had perfect, having a place of sleep, a rest. And when he saw that with his eyes, he just said, hush, be still. Be still. Those very words that we read in Psalm 46. And when he spoke those words, the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Total peace. This is what the Lord wants to do in our minds. The problem may not change from the outside immediately. But in your heart and in your mind, you can have a place of rest where you don't have to live in fear and anxiety and anger. And he said to them, how are you so timid? Why are you so afraid, so timid? How is it that you have no faith? Immediately we see the devil's beating us up and we don't believe God. How can he be glorified? They became very much afraid, and they said to him, who then is this, even the wind and the sea obey him? They didn't understand that Jesus had power over these things. And so we would say, that's an amazing thing, you know, to see, to be there and witness that would be amazing, to see that Jesus could have power. And we would say, yeah, we believe he could do that. But when we're in that very circumstance, and the waves are buffering our mind, we really don't believe until we come to the place where we can rest and be still. If we can be still, that is what the Lord is asking of us, to be still before Him and know that He's God, and then He can speak the word in season. You know, He can give me the tongue of disciples to give the word to the weary if I need it, or to be silent if I have to be silent, or to forgive if I need to forgive. But He wants me to totally rest and not allow the devil to beat me up, you know, over a night, 2 nights, 3 days, 4 days. That's not the will of God. If I have to be in the restlessness for a week, then I know, Lord, I need to repent because I've not been passing this test, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You've helped me, but I want to do better. I want it to be, I want to see the morning dawn when the Lord helps me. I want it to be the next morning. I don't want it to be 3 days later. This last week, I went through 2 or 3 days of some things, and Lord, I don't want it to be like that. But it was the day that the Lord showed me what I needed to do. When I obeyed that, perfect peace. Perfect peace. And I was like, Lord, I want to learn this thing quicker. I don't want to have things in my heart there. I want to bring them to the light. And I want to see Jesus bring a calm in my heart. This is what He wants to do for us.